doubts if he was planning to trick Asa. Shed shrugged.
If we have to, we have to. You amaze me, Shed. You've changed. I don't know. Maybe I could have done it all along. I just know that this thing can't happen again to anybody else.
Yeah. I did not mention my visions of hundreds of men looting amulets from the fortress at Juniper. He did not need that. He had a mission. I couldn't make it sound hopeless. I went downstairs and asked the landlord for more beer. Beer makes me sleepy. I had a notion, a possibility. I did not share it with anyone. The others would not have been pleased. After an hour, I took a leak and dragged off to my room, more intimidated by the thought of returning to that clearing than by what I hoped to accomplish now. Sleep was a time coming, beer or not. I could not relax. I kept trying to reach out and bring her to me, which meant nothing at all. It was a weak fool's hope that she would return so soon. I had put her off. Why should she? Why shouldn't she forget me till her minions caught up and could bring me to her in chains? Maybe there is a connection on a level I do not understand. For I wakened from a drowse, thinking I needed to visit the head again, and found that golden glow hanging above me. Or maybe I did not waken, but only dreamed that I did. I can't get that straight. It always seems so dreamlike in retrospect. I did not wait for her to start. I started talking. I talked fast and told her everything she needed to know about the lump in Miadenville, and about the possibility the troops had carried hundreds of seeds out of the Black Castle.
"You tell me this when you are determined to be my enemy, physician."
"I don't want to be your enemy. I'll be your enemy only if you leave me no option." I abandoned debate. "We can't handle this, and it has to be handled. All its like must be handled. There is evil enough in the world as it is." I told her we had found an amulet upon a citizen of Juniper. I named no name. I told her we would leave it where she could be sure to find it when she arrived.
"Arrive?"
"Aren't you on your way here?" Thin smile, secretive, perfectly aware that I was fishing. No answer, just a question.
"Where will you be?"
"Gone, long gone, and headed far away."
"Perhaps. We shall see."
The golden glow faded. There were things I wanted to say yet, but they had nothing to do with the problem at hand. Questions I wanted to ask. I did not. The last golden mote left me with a whispered, "I owe you one, physician." One Eye rambled into the place shortly after sunrise, looking a lot worse for wear. Silent came along behind him, looking pretty beaten himself. He had been on Raven's trail without let-up. One Eye said, "I caught him just in time. Another hour and he would have headed out. I conned him into waiting till daylight." "Yeah? You want to wake the troops. We get an earlier start today. We ought to be able to get back before dark." "What?" "I thought I was pretty clear. We've got to go back out there. Now. We've used one of our days." "Hey, man, I'm ripped. I'll die if you make me—" "Sleep in the saddle. That's always been one of your big talents. Sleep anywhere, anytime." "Oh, my aching butt." An hour later, I was headed down the Shaker Road again, with Silent and Otto added to the crew. Shed insisted on coming along, though I was willing to excuse him. Asa decided he wanted in, too. Maybe because he thought Shed would extend an umbrella of protection. He had started talking mission like Shed, but a deaf man could hear its false ring. We moved faster this time, pressed harder, and had Shed on a real horse. We got down to the clearing by noon. While Silent sniffed around, I worked myself up and took a closer look at the lump. No change, except the two dead creatures were gone. I did not need Hagop's eye to see that they had been dragged through the entry hole. Silent worked his way around the clearing to a point almost identical with that where the creature trail entered the forest. Then he threw up an arm, beckoned. I hurried over and did not have to read the dance of his fingers to know what he had found. His face revealed the answer. "Found it, eh?" I asked more brightly than I felt. I had started to count on Raven being dead. I did not like what the skeleton implied. Silent nodded. "Yo," I called. "We found it. Let's go. Bring the horses." The others gathered. Asa looked a little peaked. He asked, "How did he do it?" Nobody had an answer. Several of us wondered whose skeleton lay in the clearing and how it had come to wear Raven's necklace. I wondered how Raven's plot for vanishing had dovetailed so neatly with the Dominators for seeding a new black castle. Only One Eye seemed in a mood to talk, and that all complaint. "We follow this, and we're not going to get back to town before dark," he said. He said a lot more, mostly about how tired he was. Nobody paid attention. Even those of us who had rested were tired. "Lead off, Silent," I said. "Otto, you want to take care of his horse. One Eye, bring up the rear, so we don't get any surprises from behind." The track was no track at all for a while, just a straight shot through the brush. We were winded by the time it intercepted a game trail. Raven, too, must have been exhausted, for he had turned onto that trail and followed it over a hill, along a creek, up another hill. Then he had turned onto a less traveled path which ran along a ridge toward the Shaker Road. Over the next 2 hours, we encountered several such forkings. Each time, Raven had taken the one which tended more directly westward. "Bastard was headed back to the high road," One Eye said. "Could have figured that, gone the other way, and saved all this tramping through the brush." Men growled at him. His complaints were grating. Even Asa tossed a nasty look over one shoulder. Raven had taken the long way, no doubt about it. I would guess we walked at least 10 miles before coming across a ridgeline and viewing cleared land, which descended to the high road. A number of farms lay on our right. In the distance ahead lay the blue haze of the sea. The countryside was mostly brown, for autumn had come to Meadenville. The leaves were turning. Asa indicated a stand of maples and said they would look real pretty in another week. Odd, you don't think of guys like him as having a sense of beauty. "Down there," Otto indicated a cluster of buildings 3/4 of a mile south. It did not look like a farm. "Bet that's a roadside inn," he said. "What do you want to bet that was where he was headed?" "Silent?" He nodded, but hedged. He wanted to stick to the track to make sure. We mounted up, let him do what walking remained to be done. I, for one, had had enough tramping around. "How about we stay over?" One Eye asked. I checked the sun. "I'm considering it. How safe you figure we'd be?" He shrugged. "There's smoke coming up down there. Don't look like they had any trouble yet." Mind reader, I had been examining farmsteads as we passed, seeking indications that the lump creatures were raiding the neighborhood. The farms had seemed peaceful and active. I suppose the creatures confined their predations to the city, where they would cause less excitement. Raven's track hit the Shaker Road a half mile above the buildings Otto thought an inn. I checked landmarks, could not guess how far south of the 12th mile we were. Silent beckoned, pointed. Raven had indeed turned south. We followed and soon passed milestone 16. "How far are you going to follow him, Croker?" One Eye asked. "Bet you he met Darling out here and just kept hiking." "I suspect he did. How far to Shaker? Anybody know?"
247 miles.
Kingpin replied. "Rough country. Likely to have trouble along the way. Bandits and such." King said. "Not that I ever heard of. There's mountains, though. Pretty rough ones. Take a while to get through them." I did some calculating. Say 3 weeks to cover that distance, not pushing. Raven wouldn't push, what with Darling along, and the papers. A wagon. He'd have to have a wagon. Silent, too, was mounted now. We reached the buildings quickly. Otto proved right. Definitely an inn. A girl came outside as we dismounted, looked at us with wide eyes, raced inside. I guess we were a rough-looking lot. Those who did not show tough looked nasty. A worried fat man came out, strangling an apron. His face could not decide if it wanted to remain ruddy or to go pallid. "Afternoon," I said. "We get a meal and some fodder for the animals." "Wine," One Eye called out as he loosened his cinch. "I need to dive into a gallon of wine and a feather bed." "I reckon," the man said. His speech proved difficult to follow. The language of Miadenville is a dialect of that spoken in Juniper. In the city it wasn't hard to get along, what with the constant intercourse between Miadenville and Juniper, but this fellow spoke a country dialect with an altered rhythm. "And you can afford it." I produced two of Raven's silver pieces, handed them over. "Let me know when we're over that limit." I dropped my reins over the hitching rail, climbed the steps, patted his arm as I passed. "Not to worry. We're not bandits. Soldiers, following somebody who passed this way a while back." He rewarded me with a frown of disbelief. It was obvious we did not serve the Prince of Miadenville. The inn was pleasant, and though the fat man had several daughters, everyone stayed in line. After we had eaten, and most had gone off to rest, the innkeeper began to relax. "You answer me some questions?" I asked. I placed a silver piece upon my table. "Might be worth something." He settled opposite me, regarded me narrowly over a gigantic beer mug. He had drained the thing at least 6 times since our arrival, which explained his girth. "What do you want to know?" "The tall man who can't talk. He's looking for his daughter." "Eh?" I indicated Silent, who had made himself at home near the fire, seated on the floor, folded forward in sleep. "A deaf and dumb girl who passed this way a while back, probably driving a wagon. Met a guy here, maybe," I described Raven. His face went blank. He remembered Raven, and did not want to talk about it. "Silent." He snapped out of sleep as if stung. I sent a message with finger signs. He smiled nastily. I told the innkeeper, "He don't look like much, but he's a sorcerer. Here's how it stands. The man who was here maybe told you he'd come back and cut your throat if you said anything. That's a remote risk. On the other hand, Silent there can cast a few spells and make your cows go dry, your fields barren, and all your beer and wine go sour." Silent did one of those nasty little tricks which amuse him, One Eye, and Goblin. A ball of light drifted around the common room like a curious puppy, poking into things. The innkeeper believed me enough not to want to call my bluff. "All right. They was here. Like you said, I get a lot of people through in the summer, so I wouldn't have noticed, except, like you say, the girl was deaf, and the guy was a hard case. She come in the morning, like she traveled all night, on a wagon. He come in the evening, walking. They stayed off in the corner. They left next morning." He looked at my coin. "Paid in that same funny coin, come to think."
"Yeah?"
"Come from a long way off, eh?"
"Yeah. Where'd they go?"
"South, down the road. Questions I heard the guy ask, I figure they was headed for Chimney."
I raised an eyebrow. I'd never heard of any place called Chimney.
"Down the coast, past Shaker. Take the Needle Road out of Shaker. The Tagline Road from Needle. Somewhere south of Tagline, there's a crossroad where you head west. Chimney is on the Salada Peninsula. I don't know where for sure. Only what I heard from travelers."
Long hike. How far, you think?"
"See, 224 miles to Shaker. Round 200 more to Needle. Tagline is about 180 on from Needle, I think. Or maybe it's 280. I don't rightly recollect. That crossroad must be another 100 down from Tagline, then out to Chimney. Don't know how far that would be. Least another 100. maybe two, three. Seen a map once it that a fellow showed me. Peninsula sticks way out like a thumb. Silent joined us. He produced a scrap of paper and a tiny steel-tipped pen. He had the innkeeper run through it again. He drew a crude map that he adjusted as the fat man said it did or did not resemble the map he had seen. Silent kept juggling a column of figures. He came up with an estimate in excess of 900 miles from Miedenville. He knocked off the last digit, then wrote the word days and a plus sign. I nodded. Probably a 4-month trip at least, I said. Longer if they spend much time resting up in any of those cities. Silent drew a straight line from Miedenville to the tip of the Salada Peninsula. Wrote, estimated 600 miles at 6 knots equals 100 hours. Yeah, I said. Yeah. That's why the ship never left. Had to give him a head start. Think we'll have a talk with the crew tomorrow. Thanks, innkeeper. I pushed the coin over. Anything odd happened around here lately? A weak smile stretched his lips. Not till today. Right, no. I mean, like, neighbors disappearing or whatnot. He shook his head. Nope. Unless you count Moleskin. Hain't seen him in a while. But that don't make no never mind. Moleskin? Hunter. Works the forest over east, mainly for furs and hides, but brings me game when he needs salt or something. He don't come around regular, but I reckon he's overdue. Usually comes in come fall to get staples for the winter. Thought it was him when your friend come through the door. Eh? Which friend? The one you're hunting, that carried off this feller's daughter. Silent and I exchanged glances. I said, better not count on seeing Moleskin again. I think he's dead. What brings you to say that? I told him a little about Raven faking his own death and leaving a body that had been confused for his. Bad thing, that. Yep. Bad thing, doing like that. Hope you catch him up. His eyes narrowed slightly, cunning. You fellers wouldn't be part of that bunch come down from Juniper, would you? Everybody headed south talks about how... Silence glower shut him up. I'm going to get some sleep, I said. If none of my men are up yet, roust me out at first light. Yes, sir, the innkeeper said. And a fine breakfast we'll fix you, sir.
Chapter 46 Miedenville. Trouble. And a fine breakfast we had. I tipped the innkeeper another piece of silver. He must have thought me mad. Half a mile up the road, One Eye called a halt. "You're just going to leave them?" he asked. "What?" "Those people. First Taken comes down this way is going to find out everything we did." My heart flip-flopped. I knew what he was getting at. I had thought about it earlier, but I could not order it. "No point," I said. "Everybody in Miedenville is going to see us put out." "Everybody in Miedenville don't know where we're headed. I don't like the idea any better than you do, Croker, but we have to cut the trail somewhere. Raven didn't, and we're on to him." "Yeah, I know." I glanced at Asa and Shed. They were not taking it well. Asa, at least, figured he was next. "Can't take them with us, Croker." "I know." He swung around, started back, alone. Not even Otto joined him, and Otto has very little conscience. "What's he going to do?" Asa asked. "Use his magic to make them forget," I lied. "Let's move along. He can catch up." Shed kept giving me looks. Looks like he must have given Raven when he first found out Raven was in the body business. He did not say anything. One Eye caught up an hour later. He busted out laughing. "They were gone," he said. "Every blessed one, with all their dogs and cattle. Into the woods. Damned peasants." He laughed again, almost hysterically. I suspect he was relieved. We got 2 days and some gone, I said. Let's push it. The bigger head start we have, the better.
We reached the outskirts of Meadenville 5 hours later, not having pressed as hard as I wanted. As we penetrated the city, our pace lagged. I think we all sensed it. Finally, I stopped.
King, you and Asa wander around and see what you hear. We'll wait at yonder fountain.
There were no children in the streets. The adults I saw seemed dazed. Those who passed us moved by as widely as they could navigate. King was back in 2 minutes. No lollygagging.
Big trouble, Croker. The Taken got here this morning. Big blowout down at the waterfront.
I glanced in that direction. A ghost of smoke rose there, as if marking the aftermath of a major fire. The sky to the west, in the direction the wind was blowing, had a dirty look.
Asa returned a minute later with the same news and more.
They got in a big fight with the prince. Not over yet, some say.
Wouldn't be much of a fight, One Eye said.
I don't know, I countered. Even the lady can't be everywhere at once.
How the hell did they get here so fast? They didn't have any carpets.
Overland, Shed said.
Overland, but...
It's shorter than the sea trip.
Road cuts across. If you ride hard, day and night, you can make it in 2 days. When I was a kid, they used to have races.
They stopped that when the new Duke took over.
Guess it doesn't matter. So, what now?
Got to find out what happened, One Eye said.
He muttered,
If that bastard goblin got himself killed, I'll wring his neck.
Right, but how do we do that? The Taken know us.
I'll go, Shed volunteered.
Harder looks you cannot imagine than those we bent upon Maron Shed. He quailed for a moment, then,
I won't let them catch me. Anyway, why should they bother me? They don't know me.
Okay, I said. Get moving.
Croker?
Got to trust him, One Eye, unless you want to go yourself.
Nope. Shed, you screw us over, and I'll get you if I have to come back from the grave.
Shed smiled weakly, left us, on foot. Not many people rode through Meadenville's streets. We found a tavern and made ourselves at home, 2 men staying in the street to watch. It was sundown before Shed returned.
Well, I said, signaling for another pitcher of beer.
It's not good news. You guys are stuck. Your lieutenant took the ship out. 20, 25 of your guys were killed. The rest went out on the ship.
The prince lost...
Not all of them, One Eye said, and tipped a pointing finger over the top of his mug.
Somebody followed you, Shed.
Shed whirled, terrified. Goblin and pawnbroker stood in the doorway. Pawn had been carved up some. He limped over and collapsed into a chair. I checked his wounds. Goblin and One Eye exchanged looks that might have meant anything, but probably meant they were glad to see one another. The tavern's other customers began to fade. Word who we were had gotten out. They knew some bad people were hunting us.
Sit, Goblin, I said.
King, you and Otto go get some fresh horses. I gave them most of the money I had.
All the staples that will buy, too.
I think we got a long ride ahead.
Right, Goblin?
He nodded.
Let's hear it.
Whisper and Limper turned up this morning. Came with 50 men. Company men. Looking for us. Made enough fuss, we heard them coming. The lieutenant sent word to everybody ashore. Some didn't get aboard in time. Whisper headed for the ship. The lieutenant had to cut loose. We left 19 men behind.
What are you doing here?
I volunteered. Went over the side off the point. Swam to shore. Came back to wait for you guys. Supposed to tell you where to meet the ship. Ran into Pawn by accident. I was patching him up when I seen Shed poking around. We followed him back here.
I sighed. They're headed for Chimney, right?
He was surprised.
Yeah, how did you know that?
I explained briefly.
He said, Pawn, better tell them what you know. pawn was caught ashore. Only survivor I could find.
"This is a private adventure with the Taken," Pawn said. "They snuck down here. Supposed to be somewhere else. Figured it was a chance to get even, I guess, now that we're not on the list of the lady's favorites."
"She doesn't know they're here."
"No."
I chuckled. Despite the gravity of the situation, I could not help that. "They're in for a surprise, then. The old bitch herself is going to turn up. We got another black castle growing here." Several of them looked at me askance, wondering how I would know what the lady was doing. I had not explained my dream to anyone but the lieutenant. I finished patching Pawnbroker. "You'll be able to travel, but take it easy."
"How'd you find that out?"
"Shaky. We talked some before he tried to kill me."
"Shaky?" One Eye snarled. "What the hell?"
"I don't know what the Taken told those guys, but they were cranked up. Wanted our asses bad.
Suckers. Most of them got killed for their trouble."
"Killed?"
"Prince What's-It got righteous about the Taken walking in like they owned the place. There was a big fight with the Limper and our boys. Our guys practically got wiped out. Maybe they'd have done better if they could have rested first."
"Funny. We talked it over like those men and we had not somehow become mortal enemies, sympathizing. And in my case, feeling bitter toward the Taken for having turned and squandered them."
"Shaky say anything about Juniper?"
"Yeah. They had a real old-fashioned bloodbath up there. Not much left of anything. Counting us, the company was down 600 guys when the lady finished with the castle. Lot more guys was killed in the riots that came after when she cleaned out the catacombs. The whole damned city went crazy with that Hargadon leading the rebellion. Had our guys trapped in Durtile. Then the lady lost her temper. She wrecked what was left of the town."
I shook my head. "The captain guessed right about the catacombs." "Journey took over what was left of the company," Goblin said. "They were supposed to pull out with the plunder as soon as they got it all together. City is so wrecked, there isn't no reason to stay around."
I looked at Shed. A bleaker face could not be imagined. Pain and questions twisted inside him. He wanted to know about his people. Did not want to speak for fear someone would accuse him.
"Not your fault, man," I told him. "The Duke asked the lady in before you got involved. It would have happened no matter what you did."
"How can people do stuff like that?"
Asa gave him the odd look.
"Shed, that's dumb. How could you do all the stuff you did? Desperate, that's what. Everybody's desperate. They do crazy things."
One Eye gave me a how about that look. Even Asa could think sometimes.
"Pawn, Shaky say anything about Elmo?"
Elmo remained my main regret.
"No, I didn't ask. We didn't have much time."
"What's the plan?" Goblin said.
"We'll head south when King and Otto get here with the horses and supplies." A sigh.
"Going to be hard times. I got maybe 2 leva. How about you guys?" We catalogued our resources. I said, "We're in trouble."
"The lieutenant sent this."
Goblin deposited a small sack on the table. It contained 50 silver castle coins from Raven's hoard.
"That'll help. Still going to make it on prayer, though."
"I have some money," Shed volunteered. "Quite a bit. It's back where I was staying."
I eyeballed him.
"You don't have to go. You're not part of this."
"Yes, I am."
"For as long as I've known you, you've been trying to run away."
"Got something to fight for now, Croker.
What they did to Juniper. I can't let that go."
"Me too," Asa said. "I still got most of the money Raven gave me after we raided the catacombs."
I polled the others silently. They did not respond. It was up to me.
"All right, get it. But don't dawdle. I want to pull out as soon as I can."
"I can catch you on the road," Shed said. "I don't see why Asa can't, too."
He rose. Shyly, he extended a hand. I hesitated only a moment.
"Welcome to the Black Company, Shed."
Asa did not make the same offer.
"Think they'll come back?" One Eye asked after they left. "What do you think?"
"Nope.
I hope you know what you're doing, Croaker. They could get the Taken after us if they get caught."
"Yeah, they could.
I was counting on it, in fact. A vicious notion had come to me. Let's have another round here. Be our last for a long time."
Chapter 47. The Inn. On the Run. Very much to my amazement, Shed overtook us 10 miles south of Miadenville, and he was not alone.
"Holy shit!" I heard One Eye yell from the rear, and, "Croaker, come and look at this!"
I turned back, and there was Shed, with a bedraggled bullock.
Shed said, "I promised to get him out if I could. Had to bribe some people, but it wasn't that hard. It's every man for himself up there right now."
I looked at Bullock. He looked at me.
"Well," I said.
"Shed gave me the word, Croaker. I guess I'm in with you guys, if you'll take me. I don't have anywhere else to go."
"Damn. Asa shows up, I'll lose my faith in human nature. Also blow an idea I have."
"Okay, Bullock, what the hell? Just remember, we're not in Juniper, none of us. We're on the run from the Taken, and we don't have time to fuss over who did what to whom. You want to fight, save it for them."
"You're the boss. Just give me a shot at evening things up."
He followed me back to the head of the column.
"Not much difference between your lady and someone like Crag, is there?"
"Matter of proportion," I said. "Maybe you'll get your shot sooner than you think."
Silent and Otto came trotting out of the darkness.
"You did good," I said.
Dogs never barked. I had sent Silent because he handled animals so well.
"They're all back out of the woods and tucked in their beds," Otto reported.
"Good. Let's move in. Quietly. And I don't want anybody hurt. Understand? One Eye?"
"I hear you."
"Goblin, pawnbroker, Shed, you watch the horses. I'll signal with a lantern." Occupying the inn was easier than planning it. We caught everyone asleep because Silent had fuddled their dogs. The innkeeper wakened puffing and blowing and terrified. I took him downstairs while One Eye watched everybody else, including some northbound travelers who represented a complication but who caused no trouble.
"Sit," I told the fat man. "You have tea or beer in the morning?"
"Tea," he croaked.
"It's making."
"So, we're back. We didn't expect to be, but circumstances dictated an overland trip. I want to use your place a couple days. You and me need to make an accommodation."
Hagop brought out tea so strong it reeked.
The fat man drained a mug the size of that from which he drank his beer.
"I don't want to hurt anybody," I continued after taking a sip myself. "And I'll pay my way. But if you want it that way, you'll have to cooperate."
He grunted.
"I don't want anybody to know we're here. That means no customers leave. People who come through have to see things looking normal. You get my drift?"
He was smarter than he looked.
"You're waiting for somebody."
None of the men had figured that out, I don't think.
"Yes, somebody who will do unto you as you expect me to, just for being here. Unless my ambush works." I had a crazy idea. It would die if Asa turned up. I think he believed me when I claimed no wicked plans for his family.
Now,
he asked, "That the same somebody who kicked up the ruckus in the city yesterday?"
"News travels fast."
"Bad news does."
"Yes, the same somebody. They killed about 20 of my people. Busted the city up pretty good, too."
"I heard. Like I said, bad news travels fast. My brother was one of the people they killed. He was in the prince's guard, a sergeant. Only one of us ever amounted to anything. He was killed by something that ate him, I heard. Sorcerer sicked it on him."
"Yeah, he's a bad one. nastier than my friend, who can't talk. I did not know who would come after us. I was counting on someone doing so, with Asa to point the way. I also figured the pursuit would develop quickly. Asa would tell them the lady was on her way to Miadenville. The fat man eyed me cautiously. Hatred smoldered behind his eyes. I tried to direct it. "I'm going to kill him." "All right. Slow? Like my brother?" "I don't think so. If it isn't fast and sneaky, he wins. Or she. There's two of them, actually. I don't know which one will come. I figured we could buy a lot of time if we could take out one of the Taken. The lady would be damned busy with black castles for a while, with only two pairs of hands to help her. Also, I had an emotional debt to pay, and a message to make clear. "Let me send the wife and kids away," he said. "I'll stand in with you." I let my gaze flick to Silent. He nodded slightly. "All right. What about your guests?" "I know them. They'll sit tight." "Good. Go take care of your part." He left. Then I had it out with Silent and the others. I had not been elected to command. I was running on momentum as senior officer present. It got angry for a while, but I won my point. Fear is a wonderful motivator. It moved Goblin and One Eye like nothing I've ever seen. Moved the men, too. They set up every gimmick they could imagine. Booby traps, hiding places prepared from which an attack could be carried out, each glossed with a concealing spell. Weapons prepared with fanatical attention. The Taken are not invulnerable. They're just hard to reach, and more so when they're ready for trouble. Whoever came would be. Silent went into the woods with the fat man's family. He returned with a hawk that he tamed in record time and cast it aloft to patrol the road between Miadenville and the inn. We would be forewarned. The landlord prepared dishes tainted with poison, though I advised him that the Taken seldom eat. He petitioned Silent for advice concerning his dogs. He had a whole pack of savage mastiffs and wanted them in on the action. Silent found them a spot in the plan. We did everything we could, and then settled in to wait. When my shift came, I took my turn getting some rest. She came. Almost the moment my eyes closed, it seemed. I was in a panic for a moment, trying to banish my location and plan from my mind. But what was the point? She had found me already. The thing to conceal was the ambush.
"Have you reconsidered?" she asked. "You cannot outrun me. I want you, physician."
"That why you sent Whisper and the Limper to return us to the fold. They killed half our men, lost most of theirs, wrecked the city, and didn't make a single friend. Is that how you win us back?" She had not been party to that, of course. Pawnbroker had said the Taken were acting on their own. I wanted her angry and distracted. I wanted to know her reaction. She said, "They're supposed to be headed back to the Barrowland." "Sure they are. They just go off on their own any time they feel like it, to settle grudges 10 years old."
"Do they know where you are?"
"Not yet." I now had the feeling she could not locate me precisely. "I'm outside the city, lying low."
"Where?"
I let an image seep through. "Near the place where the new castle is growing. It was the nearest place we could put up." I figured a strong thread of truth was in order. Anyway, I wanted her to find the gift I meant to leave.
"Stay where you are. Do not attract attention. I will be there soon."
"Thought so."
"Do not test my patience, physician. You amuse me, but you are not invulnerable. I am short of temper these days. Whisper and Limper have pressed their luck one time too many."
The door of the room opened. One Eye said,
"Who are you talking to, Croaker?"
I shuddered. He stood on the far side of the glow without seeing it. I was awake. I replied, "My girlfriend," and giggled. An instant later, I endured a moment of intense vertigo. Something parted from me, leaving a flavor both of amusement and irritation. I recovered, found One Eye kneeling, frowning.
"What's the matter?"
he demanded. I shook my head. "Head feels like it's on backwards. Shouldn't have had that beer. What's up?" He scowled suspiciously.
"Silence Hawk came in. They're coming. Come on downstairs. We need to redo the plan."
"They?" "The Limper and 9 men. That's what I mean. We need to redo. Right now, the odds look too good for the other side."
"Yeah. Those would be company men. The inn wouldn't fool them. Inns are the axes of life in the hinterlands. The captain used them frequently to draw the rebel."
Silent did not have much to add, except that we had only as long as it would take our pursuers to cover 6 miles.
"Hey!"
The old comes the dawn. Suddenly, I knew why the Taken had come to Meadenville.
"You got a wagon and team?"
I asked the innkeeper. I still did not know his name.
"Yeah. Use it to haul supplies down from Meadenville, from the millers, from the brewers."
"Why?"
"Because the Taken are looking for those papers I've been on about." I had to reveal their provenance.
"The same ones we dug up in the Forest of Cloud?"
One Eye asked.
"Yes. Look, Soulcatcher told me they have the Limper's true name in them. They also include the Wizard Bowman's secret papers, where the Lady's true name is supposedly encoded."
"Wow,"
Goblin said.
"Right."
One Eye demanded,
"What's that got to do with us?"
"The Limper wants his name back. Suppose he sees a bunch of guys and a wagon light out of here. What's he going to figure?" Asa gave him bum dope about them being with Raven. "Asa doesn't know everything we've been up to." Silent interjected in sign, "Asa is with the Limper." "Fine. He did what I wanted." "Okay. The Limper figures that's us making a run for it with the papers, especially if we let a few pieces go fluttering around."
"I get it," One Eye said. "Only we don't have enough men to work it. Only Bullock and the landlord that Asa don't know about."
Goblin said,
"I think you better stop talking and start doing. They're getting closer."
I called the fat man.
"Your friends from the south have to do us a favor. Tell them it's their only chance of getting out of this alive."
Chapter 48. The Inn. Ambush. The four southerners were shaking and sweating. They did not know what was going on, did not like what they saw, but they had become convinced that cooperation was their only hope.
"Goblin," I shouted upstairs, "can you see them yet?"
"Almost time. Count to 50, then turn it loose."
I counted, slowly, forcing myself to keep the pace down. I was as scared as the southerners.
"Now!"
Goblin came boiling downstairs. We all roared out to the barn, where the animals and wagon were waiting, whooped out of there, stormed into the road, and went howling off south like 8 men very nearly taken by surprise. Behind us, the Limper's party halted momentarily, talked it over, then came after us. I noted that the Limper was setting the pace. Good. His men were not eager to tangle with their old buddies. I brought up the rear, behind Goblin and One Eye and the wagon. One Eye was driving. Goblin kept his mount right beside the wagon. We roared into a rising curve where the road began climbing a wooded hill south of the inn. The innkeeper said the forest went on for miles. He had gone ahead with Silent and Bullock and the men the southerners were pretending to be.
"Yo!"
someone shouted back. A scrap of red cloth whipped past. One Eye stood up on the wagon, clinging to the traces as he edged over. Goblin swung in close. One Eye jumped. For a moment, I did not think he would make it. Goblin almost missed. One Eye's feet trailed in the dust. Then he scrambled up, lay on his stomach behind his friend. He glared back at me, daring me to grin. I grinned anyway. The wagon hit the timber prepared, flung up, twisted. Horses screamed, fought, could not hold it. Wagon and team went thrashing off the road, crashed against trees, the animals screaming in pain and terror while the vehicle disintegrated. The men who had upset the wagon vanished immediately. I spurred my mount forward, past Goblin and One-Eye and Pawnbroker, yelled at the Southerners, gave them the sign to go on, keep riding, get the hell away. A quarter mile farther on, I swung onto the track the fat man had told me about, got down into the woods far enough not to be seen, halted long enough for One-Eye to get himself seated. Then we moved on hurriedly, headed for the inn. Above us, Limper and his bunch came pounding up to where the wrecked wagon lay, the animals still crying their distress. It started. Cries, shrieks, men dying, hiss and howl of spells. I didn't think Silence stood a chance, but he had volunteered. The wagon was supposed to distract the Limper long enough for the massed attack to reach him. The clangor was still going on, muted by distance, when we reached open country. "Can't be going all wrong," I shouted. "Been going on a while." I did not feel as optimistic as I pretended. I did not want it to go on. I'd wanted them to hit quick, hurt the Limper, and fade away, doing enough damage to make him retreat to the inn to lick his wounds. We hustled the animals into the barn and headed for our hiding places. I muttered, "You know, he wouldn't be in this spot if Raven had killed him when he had a chance." Way back, when I had helped capture Whisper, when she was trying to bring Limper over to her side, Raven had had a fantastic opportunity to finish him off. He had not been able, though he had had grievances against the Taken. His mercy had come back to haunt us all. Pawnbroker went into the pig shed, where we had installed a crude, light ballista, built as part of our earlier plan. Goblin cast a weak spell that made him seem just like another hog. I wanted him to stay out of it, if possible. I doubted the ballista would get used. Goblin and I raced upstairs to watch the road and the ridgeline to the east. Once he broke off, which he had not done when he was supposed to, Silent would fake in the direction taken by the Southerners, retreat through the wood to that ridge, watch what happened at the inn. It was my hope that some of the Limper's men would keep after the Southerners. I hadn't told those guys that. I hoped they had enough sense to keep running. "Ho!" Goblin said. "There's Silent. He made it." The men appeared briefly. I could not tell who was who. "Only three of them," I muttered. That meant four had not made it. Damn. "It had to work," Goblin said, "else they wouldn't be up there." I did not feel reassured. I hadn't had many shots at field command. I hadn't learned to deal with the feelings that come when you know your men have been killed trying to carry out your orders. "Here they come." Riders left the woods, coming up the Shaker Road amidst lengthening shadows. "I make it six men," I said. "No, seven. They must not have gone after those guys."
"Looks like they're all hurt."
Element of surprise. "The Limper with them. Can you tell?"
"No. That one... that's Asa." "Hell, that's old Shed on the third horse, and the innkeeper next to last."
A slight positive, then. They were half as strong as they had been. I'd lost only two of seven committed.
"What do we do if the Limper ain't with them?" Goblin asked.
"Take what comes to us." Silent had vanished off the far ridge.
"There he is, Croker, in front of the innkeeper. Looks like he's unconscious."
That was too much to hope. Yet it did indeed look like the Taken was out. "Let's get downstairs." I watched through a cracked shutter as they turned into the yard. The only member of the group uninjured was Asa. His hands were bound to his saddle, his feet to his stirrups. One of the injured men dismounted, released Asa, held a knife on him while he helped the others. A variety of injuries were evident. Shed looked like he shouldn't be alive at all. The innkeeper was in better shape, just seemed to have been knocked around a lot. They made Asa and the fat man get the Limper off his animal. I nearly gave myself away then. The Taken was missing most of his right arm. He had several additional wounds, But of course, he would recover if he remained protected by his allies. The Taken are tough. Asa and the fat man started toward the door. Limper sagged like a wet rope. The man who had covered Asa pushed the door open. The Limper wakened.
No, he squeaked. Trap!
Asa and the innkeeper dropped him. Asa began healing and towing it, eyes closed. The innkeeper whistled shrilly. His dogs came raging out of the barn. Goblin and One Eye cut loose. I jumped out and went for the Limper as he tried to gain his feet. My blade bit into the Limper's shoulder above the stump of his right arm. His remaining fist came up and brushed me across the belly. The air exploded out of me. I nearly passed out. I settled to the ground, heaving my guts out, only vaguely aware of my surroundings. The dogs boiled over the Limper's men, mauling them savagely. Several hit the Taken. He hammered them with his fist, each blow leaving an animal dead. Goblin and One Eye charged out, hit him with everything they had. He shed their spells like rainwater, punched One Eye, turned on Goblin. Goblin ran. The Limper trundled after him, weaving, the surviving mastiffs snapping at his back. Goblin raced toward the pig shed. He went sprawling before he reached it, twitched feebly in the mire. Limper rolled up behind him, fist raised for the kill. Pawnbroker's shaft split his breastbone, stood 3 feet out of his back. He stood there swaying, a ragged little man in brown, picking at the shaft. His whole will seemed to focus upon that. Goblin wriggled away. Inside the shed, Pawn cranked the ballista back and dropped another javelin into its trough. Whump! This one ripped all the way through the Limper. It knocked him off his feet. The dogs went for his throat. I regained my breath. I looked for my sword. Vaguely, I was aware of screeching from a patch of blackberries along a ditch 200 feet north. A lone dog trotted back and forth, snarling. Asa. He had ducked into the only cover available. I got my feet under me. The fat man helped One Eye get up, then snagged a fallen weapon. We three closed in on the Limper. He lay in the mire, twisted slightly sideways. His mask slipped so we could see the ruined face it had concealed. He could not believe what was happening. Feebly, he waved at the dogs. All for nothing, I told him. The papers haven't been here for months. And the fat man. This is for my brother. He swung his weapon. He was so badly bruised and getting so stiff that he did not get much into it. The Limper tried to strike back. He did not have anything left. He realized that he was going to die. After all those centuries, after having survived the White Roses and the anger of the Lady after he had betrayed her in the battle at Roses and in the Forest of Cloud. His eyes rolled up and he went away, and I knew he was yelling for Mama's help. "Kill him quick," I said. "He's calling the Lady." We hacked and slashed and chopped. The dogs snarled and bit. He would not die. Even when we ran out of energy, a spark of life remained. "Let's drag him around front." We did. And I saw Shed lying on the ground with men who used to be brothers in the Black Company. I looked up at the waning light, saw Silent approaching, followed by Hagop and Otto. I felt a numb pleasure because those two had survived. They had been best friends for as long as I could recall. I could not picture one surviving without the other. "Bullock's gone, eh?" the fat man said. "Yeah, him and this Shed. You should have seen them. They jumped into the road and pulled the sorcerer off his horse. Bullock chopped his arm off. Between them, they killed 4 men. Bullock? Somebody split his head open, like hitting a melon with a cleaver. Kingpin? Got trampled to death, but he got his licks in." I levered myself down beside Shed. One Eye did the same. "How'd they catch you?" I asked the innkeeper. "Too fat to run fast," he managed a feeble smile. "Never was meant to be a soldier." I smiled. "What do you think, One-Eye?" A glance told me there was nothing I could do for Shed. One-Eye shook his head. Goblin said,
"Two of these guys are still alive, Croaker. What you want we should do?"
"Take them inside. I'll patch them up." They were brothers. That the Taken had twisted them and made them enemies did not make them less deserving of my help. Silent came up, looming tall in the twilight. He signed, "A maneuver worthy of the captain, Croaker."
"Right."
I stared at Shed, moved more than I thought I should be. A man lay before me. He had sunk as low as any I'd ever known. Then he had fought his way back and back and had become worthy. A man far better than I, for he had located his moral pole star and set his course by it, though it had cost his life. Maybe, just a little, he had repaid his debt. He did another thing by getting himself killed in a fight I did not consider his. He became a sort of patron saint of mine, an example for days to come. He set a high standard in his last few days. He opened his eyes before the end. He smiled.
"Did we do it?" he asked.
"We did it, Shed, thanks to you and Bullock."
"Good."
Still smiling, he closed his eyes. Hagop hollered, "Hey, Croaker, what do you want to do about this Asa creep?" Asa was still in the blackberries, yelling for help. The dogs had the patch surrounded.
"Put a couple javelins in him," One-Eye muttered.
"No,"
Shed said in a tiny whisper.
"Let him be. He was my friend. He tried to get back, but they caught him. Let him go."
"All right, Shed. Hagop, dig him out and turn him loose."
"What?"
"You heard me."
I looked back at Shed. "Okay, Shed?" He didn't say anything. He couldn't. But he was smiling. I got up and said, "At least somebody died the way he wanted. Otto, get a damned shovel."
"Aw, Croaker."
"Get a goddamned shovel and get to work. Silent, One-Eye, Goblin, inside. We got plans to make." The light was nearly gone. By the lieutenant's estimate, it would be but hours before the lady reached Meadenville. Chapter 49. On the Move.
"We need rest," One-Eye protested.
"There won't be any rest till we're dead," I countered. "We're on the other side now, One-Eye. We did what the rebel couldn't. We've done in the Limper, the last of the original Taken. She'll be after us hard as soon as she's cleaned up these Black Castle leavings. She has to. If she doesn't get us fast, every rebel in 5,000 miles will get worked up to try something. There are only 2 Taken left, and only Whisper worth much."
"Yeah, I know. Wishful thinking. Can't stop a man wishing, Croaker."
I stared at the necklace Shed had worn. I had to leave it for the lady, yet the silver in it might become a lifesaver down the long road we had to travel. I screwed up my courage and began digging out the eyes.
"What the hell you doing?"
"Going to leave these with the Limper. Going to feed them to him. I figure they'll hatch."
"Ha!" Goblin said. "Ironic. Fitting."
I thought it an interesting turn of justice. Give him back to the Dominator.
"And the lady will have to destroy him. I like it."
Grudgingly, One-Eye agreed. "Thought you guys would. Go see if they've got everybody buried."
"Only been 10 minutes since they got back with the bodies."
"All right. Go help." I levered myself up and went to check on the men I had patched up. I don't know if everyone Hagop and Otto brought back from the ambush site was dead when they got there. They certainly were now. Kingpin had been dead for a long time, though they had brought him to me to examine. My patients were doing fine. One was aware enough to be frightened. I patted his arm and limped outside. They had King in the ground now, beside Shed and Bullock and the Limper's boy they had buried earlier. Only two corpses remained unburied. Asa was making the dirt fly. Everyone else stood and watched, till they saw me glowering. "What's the take?" I asked the fat man. I'd had him strip the dead of valuables. "Not a lot." He showed me a hat filled with odds and ends. "Take what you need to cover the damages. You guys will need it more than me. You're out a wagon and a team, not to mention the dogs. Take what you need. I can always rob somebody I don't like." No one knew that I had filched Shed's purse. Its weight had surprised me. It would be my secret reserve. "Take a couple horses, too." He shook his head. "I'm not getting caught with somebody else's animals after the dust settles and the prince starts looking for scapegoats." He selected a few silver coins. "I got what I wanted." "Okay, you'd better hide in the woods for a while. The lady will come here. She's nastier than the limper." "Will do." "Hagop, if you're not going to dig, go get the horses ready. Move." I beckoned Silent. He and I dragged the limper to a shade tree out front. Silent tossed a rope over a limb. I forced the eyes of the serpents down the Taken's throat. We hoisted him up. He turned slowly in the chill moonlight. I rubbed my hands together and considered him. "Took a while, guy, but somebody finally got you." For 10 years I had wanted to see him go down. He had been the most inhuman of the Taken. Asa came to me. "All buried, Croker." "Good. Thanks for the help." I started toward the barn. "Can I go with you guys?" I laughed. "Please, Croker, don't leave me here where—" "I don't give a damn, Asa. But don't expect me to look out for you, and don't try any slick tricks. I'd as soon kill you as look at you." "Thanks, Croker." He raced ahead, hastily saddled another horse. One Eye looked at me and shook his head. "Mount up, men. Let's go find Raven." Though we pushed hard, we were not 20 miles south of the inn when something hit my mind like a fighter's fist. A golden cloud materialized, radiating anger.
"You have exhausted my patience, physician."
"You exhausted mine a long time ago."
"You'll rue this murder."
"I'll exult in it. It's the first decent thing I've done this side of the Sea of Torments. Go find your castle eggs. Leave me alone. We're even."
"Oh, no. You will hear from me again, as soon as I close the last door on my husband."
"Don't press your luck, old witch. I'm ready to get out of the game. Push, and I'll learn Tel Curry." That caught her from the blind side. "Ask Whisper what she lost in the Forest of Cloud and hoped to recover in Meadenville. Then reflect upon what an angry Croker could do with it if he knew where to find it." There was a vertiginous moment as she withdrew. I found my companions looking at me weirdly. "Just saying goodbye to my girl," I told them. We lost Asa in Shaker. We took a day off there to prepare for the next leg, and when it came time to leave, Asa was not to be seen. Nobody bothered looking for him. On Shed's behalf, I left him with a wish for luck. Judging from his past, he probably had it, and all bad. My farewell to the lady did not take. 3 months to the day after the limper's fall, as we were resting prior to hazarding the last range of hills between us and Chimney, the golden cloud visited me again. This time the lady was less belligerent. In fact, she seemed mildly amused.
"Greetings, physician. I thought you might want to know, for the sake of your annals, that the threat of the Black Castle no longer exists. Every seed has been located and destroyed."
More amusement.
"There is no way my husband can rise, short of exhumation. He is cut off, totally incapable of communicating with his sympathizers. A permanent army occupies the Barrowland."
I could think of nothing to say. It was no less than I had expected and had hoped she would accomplish, for she was the lesser evil, and, I suspect, remained possessed of a spark that had not committed itself to the darkness.
She had shown restraint on several occasions when she could have indulged her cruelty. Maybe if she felt unchallenged, she would drift toward the light rather than farther toward the shadow. I interviewed Whisper with the eye. Stand clear, Croaker. Never before had she called me by name. I sat up and took notice. There was no amusement in her now. Stand clear. Of those papers. Of the girl. Girl? What girl? Don't come the innocent. I know. You left a wider trail than you thought, and even dead men answer questions for one who knows how they must be asked. Such of your company as remained when I returned to Juniper told most of the story. If you wish to live out your days in peace, kill her. If you don't, I will, along with anyone near her. I don't know what you're talking about. Amusement again, but a hard sort, a malignant sort. Keep your annals, physician. I will be in touch. I will keep you apprised of the advance of the Empire. Puzzled, I asked, why? Because it amuses me. Behave yourself. She faded away. We went down into Chimney, tired men, three quarters dead. We found the lieutenant and the ship and, lo, Darling, who was living aboard with the company. The lieutenant had taken employment with the private constabulary of a mercantile factor. He added our names to the roll as soon as we recuperated. We did not find Raven. Raven had evaded reconciliation or confrontation with his old comrades by cheating his way out. Fate is a fickle bitch who dotes on irony. After all he had been through, all he had done, all he had survived, the very morning the lieutenant arrived, he slipped on a wet marble diving platform in a public bath, split his head open, fell into the pool, and drowned. I refused to believe it. It could not be true, after what he had pulled up north. I dug around, I poked, I pried, but there were scores of people who had seen the body. The most reliable witness of all, Darling, was absolutely convinced. In the end, I had to give in. This time, no one would hear my doubts. The lieutenant himself claimed to have seen and recognized the corpse, as the flames of a pyre had risen about it the morning of his arrival. It was there he had encountered Darling and had brought her back into the keeping of the Black Company. What could I say? If Darling believed, it must be true. Raven could never lie to her. 19 days after our arrival in Chimney, there was another arrival, which explained the lady's nebulous remark about interviewing only those she could find when she returned to Juniper. Elmo rode into town with 70 men, many brethren from the old days, whom he had spirited out of Juniper while all the Taken were absent but Journey, and Journey was in such a state of confusion due to conflicting orders from the lady that he let slip the true state of affairs in Miadenville. He followed me down the coast. So, in 2 years, the Black Company had crossed the breadth of the world, from the nethermost east to the farthest west, close to 4,000 miles, and in the process had come near destruction and had found a new purpose, a new life. We were now the champions of the White Rose, a bedraggled joke of a nucleus for the force, legend, destined to bring the lady down. I did not believe a word of that, but Raven had told Darling what she was, and she, at least, was ready to play her part. We could but try. I hoisted a glass of wine in the master's cabin. Elmo, Silent, One Eye, Goblin, the lieutenant, and Darling raised theirs. Above, men prepared to cast off. Elmo had brought the company treasure chest. We had no need to work. I proposed my toast. To the 29 years. 29 years. According to legend, it would be that long before the great comet returned and fortune would smile upon the White Rose. They responded, the 29 years. I thought I detected the faintest hint of gold in the corner of my eye, felt the faintest hint of amusement.
This has been an Audible Frontiers production. Executive producer, Steve Feldberg. Producer, Mike Charzik. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 1984 by Glenn Cook. Audio recording copyright 2010 by Audible Inc. If you enjoyed this audiobook, the rest of Glenn Cook's Black Company series is available today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.